CDW down here in Central Florida. I am your host, Steve Elkins, and this is Off the Beaten Path. Today's date is April 28th, 2024. It's been a full week of news. Scripted news and sound bites is being passed off as real news, most of which I would call the fake news. The time to be vocal is now. Silence is implied consent. Please visit the RBN website for great resource articles for provocative and share what you have learned. Go to republicbroadcasting.org. My email address is otbpsteve@gmail.com. And our call-in number is 512-248-8252. Looks like it's time to trash the computer here and get a new one. And that's probably what I'm going to do now. So I am doing the interview tonight, the show tonight, by phone because something is going on. Don't know. Could be the computer itself. It could be a hack. I don't know, but it's probably time to get a new computer anyway. This baby is old. It's been a good baby, and it's time to retire it and get a new one. Interesting week this week. A lot of interesting things going on this week we can talk about here. I want to bring something to your attention here that caught me off guard today. It was kind of interesting. I love conversing with people and talking with people about what's going on, and get their viewpoints of what's going on and see how they actually interpret the news, really what's going on. You can also find out pretty fast of what kind of news they're looking at, whether it's the mainstream media fake news, CNN and MSNBC and the others. The list is long. But you get an idea of where they're getting their news by their interpretation and their analysis and their objectives. And today was just... That's a perfect day for me. That, you know, I was just ready to leave. I was out and about running some errands, picking up supplies, and I happened to see this gentleman, an older gentleman, had a tent set up, and it said, "Support Robert F. Kennedy Jr. for president." And I thought that's interesting. First time I've seen that. You know, you see Trump, and occasionally you see a Biden one here. That's actually very rare to see a Biden one because he's destroying the economy. But you see Trump ones here and there. But my first RFK Jr. tent that was pitching RFK to be the next president. That was kind of interesting. And I nearly passed by and just said, you know, no, I can't do that. I got to ask this guy some questions here. I want to see what the selling points of RFK Jr. are. So I pull over and I say, hey, can I ask you a question? He goes, sure. What do you want to know? I said, are you familiar with Charlie Kirk? And the name kind of sounded familiar to him a little bit. And he said, yeah, I think. I said, well, let me ask you something. I want to get your perspective on this. Charlie Kirk did an interview about a month and a half ago with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. That would be a one-time and only one-time interview. That'll never, ever happen again. It started off great, a great interview, some good stuff. And then it got down to some questions. And Charlie Kirk is not one to hold back. He's got something on his mind. He's going to give you some tough questions. No softball questions, but tough questions. And they were talking about Supreme Court justices and the Democrats trying to pack the Supreme Court with all their candidates that will just basically push everything through for them. And he asked him, he said, let me ask you a question. He said, who is your favorite? Looking over all the people in the Supreme Court right now, is you know, who is your favorite? Well, he said nobody really right now. He says, I don't, you know, they're okay. You know, he mentioned a couple that are currently on the bench right now. But he said, no, that's not who I look up to, who I admire. Charlie Kirk pressed him a little bit further and said, well, who do you admire? Who do you admire? He said, Earl Warren. I was flabbergasted. I my mouth dropped, and I said, my God, Earl Warren? And even Charlie Kirk did pretty much the same. He couldn't believe what he was hearing. Earl Warren? Yeah. Well, I asked this question to the elderly gentleman today, who was probably 10 years older than myself. I'd say he was 73 to 75. Retiree sitting there in the hot sun in this little tent, trying to tell everybody why we should all vote for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. So I asked him, I said, what do you think about that response back? And he said, I don't quite understand what you're asking me, what you're saying. I said, do you know who Earl Warren is? Do you know who Earl Warren is? Vaguely, it sounds familiar. I don't know. I think, man, you're 10 years older than me. You must know about Earl Warren. And I said, the Warren Commission. Oh, Warren Commission. Okay, okay. So I'm still trying to figure out what are you asking me? I said, isn't that a strange answer? The man who covered up the JFK assassination would be his idol. Do you find that quite kind of odd? And he's still kind of struggling for understand the concept of what I've just thrown at him. Well, I don't know that to be true. I said, well, I'm telling you it's true. You can look it up for yourself. You can go on YouTube, look up the Charlie Kirk interview with Robert F. Kennedy Jr., where he asked him the question, who's your favorite Supreme Court justice? And he mentions Earl Warren. Well, the guy's struggling for answers. He's struggling trying to find something positive of why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would have answered that way. I mean, he's struggling hard. And he said to me, he said, well, you know, sometimes people say things that are taken out of context. I said, no, 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 you can't take this one out of context. Earl Warren stalled and covered up the assassination of John F. Kennedy. There's no misspeaking. There's no misinterpretation of what was said. And actually locking down or securing, classifying the files still to that case to this day, I believe for another 70 years. So 70 years you're going to lock down something that you said it was just one shooter, a lone shooter all by himself, the Harvey Oswald that shot John F. Kennedy and killed him. And so there's nothing to hide here, but we're going to keep these documents classified for another 70 years. You know, this elderly gentleman didn't even know that. I wonder, what do you spend your day doing? And I was being nice. I was starting to get a little edgy. But I thought to myself, in your retirement age, what do you do? Well, you're clearly somewhat political because you're out here stumping for RFK Jr., but you don't seem to know much. You don't know much about your candidate. You don't know their history. You don't know what they stand for. I know they've given you a little cheat sheet to look down and tell everybody why you should be voting for this person. But you clearly don't know much, and I think that's pretty sad. And I said to him, I said, you know, he said, who are you going to vote for? I said, right now? He said, well, there's a lesser of two evils. You've heard that term before. He said, yeah, I am. Not happy with Biden. I think Biden is destroying the country, the illegal invasion, and everything you think of Bidenomics. Everything's going south. And that's the person that I would not even consider. He's got dementia. He stole the last election. We know that. 2,000 mules, and I'm not talking about Francis the Talking Mule, how he stole the election, how it was done. But I said, you know, at this point in time, I said, there's only one logical answer, and I don't like him. Don't get me wrong. I'm not a Trump fan. I don't like the guy. I think he's got skeletons. I don't think he's a choir boy. I don't think he's perfect, but I don't expect anybody to be perfect. I would like honesty, though. I would like honesty. And I said to him, I'd have to go with Donald Trump. He gave me that look like, you're stupid. You're a BS, and you'd vote for this guy? He's a bad guy. I'm thinking, really? Worse than Joe Biden? Worse than Joe Biden? The guy who's weaponizing the Department of Justice, going after his political opponents? You're telling me that Donald Trump would be worse than Joe Biden? He was struggling for answers to find some way out of this. You remind me of that Karine Jean-Pierre, the White House press secretary, looking for something to grab onto to either divert the conversation or find some kind of gray area to wiggle out of that, oh, you're just a conspiracy theorist, you're a nutcase, he didn't mean that. But he couldn't do it. It was quite embarrassing, this elderly gentleman doing that. I would give Robert F. Kennedy two attaboys in that he was strong enough to take on the pharmaceutical industry and to associate the childhood vaccines with autism, rising cases. I give him that. I believe he came out against COVID shots and that they're causing a lot of harm, damage to their health systems, our immune systems, and we're seeing a lot more disease. It's a disaster. COVID's a disaster. The shutdowns were a disaster. Everything about COVID is a disaster. So I give him that. But outside of that, what we have with Robert F. Kennedy Jr. is a liberal and I'd like to call him a limousine liberal. That's what he is. We're talking about a political dynasty family called the Kennedys. They've been in power forever and ever, and their children will be in power, and their children will be in power. It's a never-ending cycle of dominance in the political realm. The Kennedys are liberals. They're limousine liberals. They believe that their policies apply to you and they don't apply to them. Your children should go to a school that is bust, heavily bust, with everybody going into your school, bringing down the education, the requirements, the standards. Your kids should go to this school while their children go to a nice, cushy private school and where they don't have any of these problems. You do remember Joe Biden talking about this, and Joe Biden's one of the biggest racists I've ever seen, along with Senator Byrd, Robert Byrd. But he didn't want his children to go to schools that would be like a jungle. And we know what we're talking about here when he said that. The jungle, the racial jungle that would destroy the education system. He didn't want his kids part of that. And we even know that Joe Biden's a racist because even his vice president, before she became a vice president, clearly pointed that on the campaign trail, on the debates, that this man is a racist. And I find it quite interesting. He would pick her for his VP choice. Amazing. Does he not remember that? Or was this a handpicked VP by the deep state for Joe Biden, but it didn't make sense? And we all should have caught on to that pretty quick. And those who aren't catching on don't want to catch on. And this guy here, I think what we have here is stuck on stupid. And I'm sorry, but I like to use logic in everything, every aspect of my life. But this guy here could not answer that question, why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would pick Earl Warren as his hero, Speaker of Justice in the Supreme Court. He couldn't answer that. He did come back later on and say, well, you know, and I love the diversion, how we tried to go away from Joe Biden and then go to Elon Musk, as if Elon Musk is our savior also. And I said, well, you're being fooled by Elon Musk also. And he looked at me like, what? Yeah, he's deep state controlled. Do you even know what deep state is? Am I really talking over your head now with deep state? Maybe you'll understand it more if I said shadow government. A lot of people remember shadow government. Deep state is the new version of shadow government. But I don't think you got that either. So it was a wasted 10 minutes of breath that I can't get back. I wish I could. And I finally ended it. He says, well, I said, well, you know what? I planted a seed of doubt and thought. Do me a favor. Don't let that go. Go to the internet, start looking up many sources, find that interview with Charlie Kirk, and then decide for yourself. Try to figure out why Robert F. Kennedy Jr. would answer that way. Okay? Answer the question for yourself. Why would you answer that question that way? You know, it's like picking Ted Bundy for the Man of the Year Award. You know, Time Magazine, Ted Bundy. Oh, that's Ted Bundy. Yelling about Ted Bundy? He's a serial killer, okay? All right, you should, little light bulb should go off in your head just saying something doesn't sound right here. And that answer that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. gave about Earl Warren is one of those light bulbs going off. It's like, that doesn't make sense, you know? So try to find reason, or if you can, make the argument, find the sense of why he answered that way. Just find out why. And answer it for yourself. But my guess is I planted a seed. His mind is set. His mind is set. He's confirmed of what he wants to believe. He doesn't want to believe. This is a too true liberal mindset of people who don't want to listen. My mind has already been set. You cannot convince me, like the child putting his fingers in his ears saying, no, 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 no. I don't want to hear anymore. But the sad part about it is this guy is out there stumping for Robert F. Kennedy Jr. And I asked him a simple question. He may get some harder questions than that, but it's just a question of explain why that answer was given. Not rocket science. If there's something there, something very wrong with that answer. And like I said, the interview went well with Charlie Kirk up until that question was asked. And he was pressed for the answer and clarification that this man is responsible for covering up delaying the investigation into your uncle's assassination, and still classifying that event documents are still classified for another 7 years. You know, the elderly gentleman was honest enough to say, you know I've heard Robert F. Kennedy Jr. talk about the intelligence being involved with the assassination of JFK. Oh, well, okay, now we're on to something here. Okay, so you do admit you knew that, that Robert F. Kennedy Jr. had pointed a finger at the intelligence to be involved with the assassination of his uncle. We do agree on that. Yes. Okay. Okay. So at least we agree on that. He understands intelligence killed his uncle. Okay. Bad thing. Bad thing. Now let's go back to the Warren Commission. Okay. And let's go back to the documents being classified. Why do you classify something? Why do you classify something for another 70 years? Why? Well, there's something to hide. Can we agree on that? There is something to hide if you will not divulge all the information, open the files, declassify everything. There's something to hide. Can we agree on that? He's still looking at me like, it reminds me of that, watching that movie, The Christmas Story. When Ralphie talks about out of the blue, it just comes out of his mouth out of the blue. Bears were spotted in the neighborhood. You know, they're looking at me like I have lobsters coming out of my ears. He's giving me that look, lobsters are coming out of my ears. He's still not quite getting it. But I planted a seed. My guess is that seed will never take. And he'll go on with his liberal mindset that he's the best candidate out there. You know, the elderly are really getting hit hard with Bidenomics. They're getting hit hard, very hard. Their retirement savings are being pretty much dwindled away. Many old people are now having to pick up jobs at where? Walmart. You think somebody really wants to work at Walmart after retirement? They have to make ends meet, to live, to survive. So clearly Bidenomics is not a good thing. I've got a list the other day here of 1,000 stores closing, Dollar Tree stores are closing. Walgreens is closing another 900 stores. Kroger is closing 400 stores. We got thousands and thousands of store closures in Bidenomics. This is not build back better. This is destroy. Take down, destroy. And again, going with the shortages, supply shortages, I've never seen anything in 3 years, almost 4 years now, too much has happened to be accidental or coincidental, and we know our Heavenly Father does not hate us to cause these terrible disasters of droughts and fires and everything else going on, killing our cows, 10,000 cows, dropping dead in Kansas, and we know that's not the situation. We either are a schlep rock country, big giant black cloud over our country, or these things are being deliberately done, carried out. They are scripted. Now, using logic, I like to say that, using logic, there's no way we could have this much bad luck. No way we could have this much bad luck. This is all very much scripted, part of Agenda 2030. It is about controlling people, removing rights and freedoms. It's about erasing the middle class. It's about having you dependent on the government for your needs and what you need to survive. And you giving up your rights and freedoms for your little stipends, whatever they're going to give you. This is about controlling you. Only a revolution can save America now. And I think Mike Rivera and I've been talking, and he says it's the only way we can save America, Steve. And I have to agree with that. The only way we can save America is through a revolution. I think that's probably why there's a big giant, there's huge fence surrounding the Capitol today. It's still there. That something is coming, and they know it's coming, and the fence is not going to come down. November is going to be very interesting. Stealing this election on a bad economy and record high inflation will be so obvious, as the people, typically they always do, they vote on their economics. Am I right? They vote on their economics. So no one votes for someone who destroys the economy, brings them high inflation, and removes their rights to decide for themselves. Nobody votes for that person. But a matter of fact, it's kind of a dictatorship-type situation here. Everything that the Democrats and Joe Biden is pointing at Donald Trump for, says he's going to do when he gets back in office, if he gets back in office, is exactly what the Democrats are doing right now, behaving like communist. Joe Biden behaving like a dictator. Well, what else is going on in the news here? This has been the big news. So we're not talking about the Baltimore, Maryland container ship any longer. That's cuckoo talk. You know, there's no way. The Dally's GPS system could have been hacked. There's no way. Laura Logan is a kook. Charlie Kirk is a kook. I'm a kook for believing the possibility that a ship could travel thousands of miles and have no problems, and then suddenly when it gets to the bridge entrance, the power goes out and they have a problem. That's just cuckoo talk, Steve. That's just cuckoo talk. Cuckoo talk, that's off the headlines now. We can't talk about that anymore. We're cuckoo if we do, so it's pretty much gone away. Just like building number 7, the World Trade Center, that cuckoo talk too. How about building that had just office fires could come crashing down in one free fall? That's cuckoo talk too. So that all went away also. We're not supposed to think like that. That's just cuckoo talk. It's not possible. But then if you ask somebody to explain it, they can't explain it, but they just keep calling you cuckoo. You know, pretty much how they stop you from talking about the issues, they place a label on you. It works most time, but it doesn't work on me. So let's talk about these pro-Palestine protests all over the country. And actually, they're pro-Palestine, all right, but they're being twisted by the mainstream media. The mainstream media has actually changed the jargon now, changed the wordage on this. Pro-Palestine protest is how it started off, and now they're saying Hamas sympathizers. I love how they do. So we go from pro-Palestine protest to Hamas sympathizers. Amazing. Well, you're hearing one side by the Jewish-controlled media, and that's pretty much what you've always got. Rupert Murdoch has instructed his media minions to report these protests as anti-Semitism. Remember a while back, about 2 years ago, where we had Kamala Harris talking about the white man is the greatest threat and anti-Semitism is growing. Well, there's a reason why they do those things, because it's very, very profitable to tell you something is increasing and that people are being targeted, because people tend to throw a lot of money at it, as if money solves any problems, but it doesn't. But we are not seeing a rise or an increase in anti-Semitism. The students are holding signs, T-shirts. They are supporting Palestine and those who are being slaughtered in Gaza. I like to say Gaza cost. No one is holding signs saying, we support, we love Hamas. No one is holding that sign. This is just another media lie to extort more of your tax dollars on a problem they continue to say is growing. A lie. Fake news. It said, now we've gone to sympathizers from supporters. Sympathizers. I have heard no one talk about supporting Hamas and terrorism. Not one. And students, by the way, are not being targeted. Jewish students are not being targeted on universities. How would you know somebody's Jewish? Unless you're walking around with your yarmulke, they would know then. But other than that, most people don't wear the yarmulke when they're going to college. So, I think he might be Jewish. Let's go after him. And again, this is just nonsense. They're not being targeted. And the university has caved in pretty much to say, you Jewish students, you could stay home and do your student virtual reality on the computer here. And because we worry for you, but nobody's being attacked. Nobody's being attacked. If anything, it'd be the other way around. For somebody voicing their opinion, their opposition to Israel, not the Jewish people. The Jewish people are pretty much as powerless as we are. But to voice their opinion in opposition of Benjamin Netanyahu and a very corrupt government. A very corrupt government. And that's what they would be opposing, and that's exactly what I oppose. I'm not an anti-Semite for disagreeing, not liking Benjamin Netanyahu and the government of Israel. I'm not an anti-Semite for thinking that. I don't think very highly of my own government. what, this twisting of it to make it sound like everything is anti-Semitism. Well, 95.3 billion dollars, a new aid package going out to Israel, going out to Ukraine, and I think was Israel gets what, $14.1 billion, and I think it was $61 billion and $34.5 billion for Taiwan to make sure the Chinese don't invade Taiwan. But can we just cross our fingers and hope that the $14.1 billion that we're going to give Israel, can we please cross our fingers and hope that they'll take off the Forgotten Jews commercial off TV? Can we please just pray for that? I mean, I am sick and tired of the Forgotten Jews commercial on TV. So Israel, take your $14.1 billion and help the Forgotten Jews, the people you forgot for some reason. I'm not sure why you forgot them, but please help them, and please take the commercials down, because I'm sick of them. And it's not working. It's not working. Your actors are not convincing me, and it actually makes you look quite bad, the Israeli government look quite bad, that your own Jewish people you have forgotten, as you keep getting billions and billions and billions of our tax dollars, and we have to put up with these commercials on TV of the Forgotten Jews. Amazing. Amazing. Poor old Israel. Poor Israel and the Forgotten Jews. And we'll see. Let's talk a little bit about something else I discovered the other day, putting on the logic cap on, is that we are seeing East Coast, West Coast agendas, pilot agendas, studies being done. And this newest one I talked about a week ago with Gavin Newsom, and we knew it was coming. It wasn't an April Fool's joke, April 1st, that California is going to raise their minimum wage from $16 to $20 an hour. There's something boiling here. Stay tuned.
Tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
What would you say if I told you we have a new tool that will increase production and lower maintenance costs for your meat processing company, and it would pay for itself in just 6 weeks?
When pigs fly!
The new EaseOff Model EZ4 replaces old spring-style carcass droppers and is faster, safer, and more reliable. The EaseOff lowers or lifts 1,000 pounds to or from your rail automatically using our remote control.
Sounds expensive! Can I afford it?
Can you afford not to try the EaseOff? It installs fast with just 3 bolts in place of your current dropper. The effortless operation will reduce fatigue and injuries, speed up your line, eliminate downtime, and increase profit.
How can I order my EaseOff?
Go to EaseOff.com, EazeOff.com, and hurry, because we are offering $200 off on the new EZ4 for a limited time. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too. EaseOff LLC, Summersville, Missouri, 417-932-6419.
Tejibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A one-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history, but have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization? Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure and natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com. S-U-S-A-N-A-S, Secret.com.
Lines are open, 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. I got to say, a lot of good memes this week that came up, I popped up for me. One showing a picture of Ben Shapiro, who I like to call Ben Shapiro's time. And the quote was, a very famous quote, but changed to fit his agenda. Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for Israel. And unfortunately, that exactly is his message. Again, I call a spade here. I don't hate anybody, but I do not like what I see, what we are witnessing that's happening in Palestine and Gaza. This is a Gaza cost, and they are slaughtering innocent people. And it's interesting that this was a week that we pointed out this slaughter. The Palestinians, students on the campuses were talking about what's going on now here with going in Palestine, slaughtering innocent people in Palestine and Gaza. And somebody tried to make the case, this is an interesting story because I had a butted head with the network once about this, and dropping two bombs, nuclear bombs, on Hiroshima and Nagasaki, which were two heavily populated cities in Japan. They were not military bases. It did not have to be done. It was to send a message that the United States don't ever mess with us. We're going to show some shock and awe here, and we will be the world's policemen. We will be a world power, and it didn't have to be done. It was done for send a message, don't ever mess with the United States. It did not have to be done. The Japanese were going to surrender. We knew that already. But their case has been made very similar to, well, you know, if the United States can do that, why can't Israel do what they're doing right now in Gaza and Palestine? And that's not an argument, really. It's terrorism, okay? If you target innocent people for your political agenda, that's the definition of terrorism. And that's the argument I had with the host, is that it's not acceptable. And it's not a two-way street here. We can't do this, and then somebody else does the same to us. We call that terrorism, and when we do it, it's just war. It's the way it is, and it's double standard. I don't believe in double standards. I believe in following what rules there are in war, the Geneva Convention. I believe in. I don't like war, but if we are going to be in a war, then we need to follow some kind of rules in war, and it appears that there is a double standard. The United States can drop bombs, nuclear bombs, on other countries, and if that were to happen to us, well, that's terrorism, but it's not terrorism when we do it. I have a problem with that. Let's get back to the East Coast, West Coast. There are a couple of agendas being played out here, and we've seen them come along the way in the last year with Governor Gavin Newsom. I like to call him Gavin Nuisance, a guy who clearly should not be in office, and I think there was a recall, and he sold that election again to get back in. So, again, voting, I don't have a lot of faith in voting. In California, people, I don't know, you got rid of Gray Davis, but you should have got rid of Gavin Newsom because he's destroying your state. You have a beautiful state, but he's destroying it quite fast. But we are seeing an East Coast, West Coast political agenda being played out here. These are pilot studies. And we saw in California, of course, the decriminalizing the shoplifting, the theft under $1,000. Anything over $1,000 is a felony. But under $1,000 is not a felony, and they're not going to prosecute it. Well, what a green light there to tell the criminals to go ahead and steal all you want. Just make sure you don't go over $1,000. And that's okay. We're not going to do anything about it. Amazing. The message they send by those kind of lame liberal policies there. But then again, now we started back, it started back up again with Gavin Newsom talking about raising the minimum wage from $16 to $20. We're going to help the little guy. Well, let's talk about this because I lived in California. It's very expensive. By the way, gas last week in the Menlo Park area near the Bay Area there is $7.29 a gallon, $7.69 for premium. Everything is skyrocket prices, everything, energy, everything. I have $7.29 a gallon. Oh, my God. I guess they're trying to push their smart trains, their smart transportation, that you don't drive anymore, but I don't think that's going to work either. But Bidenomics is destroying this country. It's destroying California. And there are two pilot studies going on between California, West Coast, and East Coast, New York. Now, $20 an hour is not going to pull anybody out of poverty. Okay? Nobody's going to make 20 bucks an hour. You're not supposed to be making living on a minimum wage. It's not a career wage. It's not a ladder you want to climb to stay in minimum wage jobs. It's a learning experience. Many good positive things come about of taking a minimum wage job. We all did it in high school. And when we got our degrees in college, of course, we moved on to bigger and better things. But said we got valuable experience in working a minimum wage job. Nobody is supposed to be working a minimum wage job as a career job. $20 is not going to pull you out of the hole. Not going to pull you out of a hole. A single person is not going to pull you out of the hole if you have two or three dependents or four dependents. It's not going to pull you out of the hole. Okay? California is an expensive place to live. You have to make money. At $20 an hour, you're still living in mom and dad's basement. Okay? From 16 to 20, you're still living in the basement of mom and dad. Okay? You're taking your girlfriend to mom and dad's house. Some privacy. So it's not going to pull anybody out of poverty. It's a joke. But what it is, and it's interesting that finally somebody actually admitted it. I said what was going to happen. You'll pass off the cost to your consumer as much as you possibly can. By the way, a Big Mac prior to this wage hike, minimum wage hike, was $2.50. Now a Big Mac in California will cost you $5.39. Well, maybe this is a way to tackle obesity. I don't know. Maybe there's an agenda, a good one there, tackling obesity, but from $2.50 to $5.39 is outrageous, so I'm not going to eat out as much. I'm not going to eat out probably at all. Maybe this is time to learn how to cook for yourself, but it's not going to pull you out. $20 is not going to pull you out of any kind of poverty. It's not going to happen. Now let's move over to the East Coast, which is another new scam that's being played out here in the last month or so. It's been getting a little bit of attention on shows like Newsmax and maybe a little bit of Real America's Voice, but there's a scam called Squatters. waters. Amazing. So the Florida snowbirds, people living in New York, and say, you know what? Winter sucks in New York. I hate it. I think I'll go down to Florida. Now, enjoy the weather in Florida, and when the weather's right, I'll go back to New York. So they leave for a couple months, 3 months, enjoy Florida weather, play a lot of golf, come back to find that their house has been occupied by squatters. And the liberal laws that they have in New York protect the squatters. So you're going to fight them in court for 3 months, 6 months, or longer, trying to get people who broke into your house, who had the locks changed, got in, set up shop in your house. You have to work in the courts now to get them out of your house and the damage and the money you've lost, everything. Again, this is a test pilot study between California, East Coast, and West Coast. What happens in these two states is going to be carried out to the remainder of the country. These are pilot studies. What's going to happen in California? Well, again, pass off the cost a little bit until the consumer says, I won't buy anymore. Then you start laying people off. Then you start firing people. And then before you fire the people, of course, you usher in what? Automation. Automation. You bring in automation. You get the machines running. You get those minimum wage jobs replaced by machines, robotics, everything you can think of, probably replacing 90% of your workforce. Keep 10% only and remove the 90 people. So Gavin Newsom, he was speaking about trying to help the little guy and bring him up the ladder in wages, just ended their jobs. Automation is coming. No doubt about it. You can do it. I've watched enough on TV with that show called How It's Made. If you haven't watched it, you've got to watch this. I think it's on YouTube. You can watch it. Everything you think of. You ever had an inclination? How does that work? How do they do that? How do they build that? Robotics, automation, technocracy, all right there. We don't need all these people. We do not need all these people. Which also, by the way, will factor into something else I talked about last week called the Cloward Piven strategy. If you don't know much about it, please look it up. Created in the 1960s, I believe it was 1966, the Cloward Piven strategy. So all your unemployed people in California from all these fast food restaurants will now be unemployed, unable to find work, replaced by a machine. What will they do? Well, mom and dad will take care of them. And if they're not lucky enough to have mom and dad, they'll end up on the welfare rolls, which falls into that Cloward Piven strategy. Please look that up. Very important to learn this strategy that was created back in the 60s. Basically, what it was an idea to change the face of America, or change the face of any government. I guess they could do, any government could do it. But basically what it was is to increase the welfare roll, overwhelm the welfare rolls by giving away free this and that you pay for. This is the same time when they're doing this, they'll eliminate your middle class. You pay for all their new illegals. This is exactly what we're seeing right now. We're seeing a great example of the Cloward Piven strategy right now with open borders, this mass invasion of our country. This is the Cloward Piven strategy all the way. In return for getting all the nice freebies and the benefits and the stipends here and there, they will give their loyalty to those who give them until they run out of money, of course. And then they got a problem. Maybe that's why the fences around the Capitol, because socialism ends when you run out of other people's money. Then the communism comes. So the Cloward Piven strategy, definitely these people are going to fall in that category of welfare rolls now, and be asking for this and that to give their loyalty in return for getting freebies. Biden is ruling on, well, he's attempting to rule on fear and free stuff, flat out. The fear of Donald Trump becoming a dictator, which, again, like I said, we're seeing the actions of a dictator in the Biden White House right now. So don't give me that. Don't try to make that argument that we worry that Donald Trump's going to become a dictator, because he wasn't the first 4 years. So he's not going to become now. Is he going to maybe try, and I'd say I don't think he'll be very successful in it, but would he try to take on the deep state? Break its back? Would he try to do that? I don't think so. I think he understands JFK. I think he doesn't want to end up like JFK. He would like to, maybe take a stab at it, but I be honest with you, he wants to live also, and I understand that. It's a tough thing. I don't think one man can do it. It's a big job. Big job to take down the deep state. It's a huge job. It takes lots of people. It takes quite an army to do it. It would be done, but you're going to have more than just the Oval Office working on it to do that. And by the way, you can't have intelligence agencies that are weaponized and not following the rule of law or following the Constitution to be part of that venture to take down the deep state, because they are the deep state. They are the deep state. Yeah, like I said, those two test pilot studies I thought about, and definitely fitting into the Cloward Piven strategy. Amazing. Well, Donald Trump's New York sleazy Daniels hush money trial started on Monday. 6 to 8 weeks it'll probably carry out. They found 12 jurors. 12 ignorant people, or just 12 biased people to convict. I assume that's exactly what the questionnaire found when they did their trying to find the jurors themselves. They have questionnaires to find the people that are most likely to convict Donald Trump, and he'll be convicted. It'll be appealed, as usual. Everything is appealed, because what we're witnessing today is not the rule of law, and it is not following the U.S. Constitution. By the way, I am still asking this question. Nobody really seems to talk about it too much, but if you're going to going into court and you're seeing that your constitutional rights are being violated, will you be best probably to hire the constitutionalist attorney who represents you because your rights are being violated? And we've seen many of them. First Amendment speech, Second Amendment, actually not so much for Donald Trump, but First Amendment and Fourth Amendment violations, many other violations of the Constitution here, with all those raids, illegal raids and spying and bugging as to the towers. He has they have many violations. So I guess the first thing I would do is, I think to make it, first of all, you're going to have this thing televised, because you can shame them this way. But I think one of the first things I would do as an attorney, a constitutionalist attorney, I would walk into the courtroom and I would say, and on record and very open and vocal, and hopefully, like I said, the media there listening and viewing it and recording it for everyone else to see and hear. Now, I'd ask the judge, and please skip the little honor thing, your honor. I hate when they say that, your honor, because many people are in the judicial are not honorable. So please skip that formality of saying your honor. Approach the bench. Be loud with your words and say, is this a court that follows the rule of law? Is this a court that follows the rule of law? Get an answer. Don't let them skirt out of it. Just, I want an answer. Second question, I'm asking two questions only, and then I'm going to go back and we'll start the trial. Is this a court that recognizes and will abide by the U.S. Constitution? Is this a court that will abide by the Constitution? Want an answer. If he skirts around that one, guess what? Makes him look pretty bad, and it makes it look like, also, we got a fixed jury here, we got a fixed court system, and he's part of the process. I think those are good questions to ask, and I would expect answers. And don't give me the you're in contempt by asking two questions. They're very easy questions to answer. Yes, yes, is what you want to hear. If you don't hear anything, or you hear no, well, guess what? There you go. My case is made already. We're starting off already at the bottom here, and there's really no purpose, because you're going to convict this man regardless of the information we're going to bring out and show the true evidence. But I find it quite ironic is that a woman who could claim, Sleazy Daniels could claim that she didn't have an affair with him at one time. She said, no, I didn't have an affair with him. No, nothing happened, nothing. And later on, recant under duress, she says, recant her statement under duress and say, yes, she did have an affair with him. But how come nobody is talking about blackmail? Someone that tells you, I'll pay you $130,000 if you keep your mouth shut. Or she goes running to this person or that person, the press. Isn't that, doesn't that fall under the headings of blackmail? extortion, maybe. Isn't that done? I believe it does. Is extortion still and blackmail, is it still illegal in this country? I don't know. Well, you know, we know theft is under $1,000. It's not anymore. So maybe there's some new legislation that if you you ask for more than $130,000, it's illegal, and you just made the cutoff, I guess, $130,000. But that's the first thing I would say, and I haven't heard one attorney representing Donald Trump to say, this is blackmail. Blackmail. Of course, we can't bring up the $800,000 that Bill Clinton paid out to many of his sexual cohorts to shut him up for the election. You know, you can't have this stuff out there. But with Donald Trump, if it were true, I don't know. Like I said last week, why would a germaphobe jump in bed with a woman who's been with many thousands of men making movies? No, no, it doesn't make sense for a germaphobe to be doing anything with basically a prostitute. So Stormy Daniels is going to have her, what, 1 hour of fame, making money, not on her back this time, and the thing will be appealed. And then we move on to the next trial against Donald Trump. There's always a new scam, a new trial coming up for Donald Trump, unfortunately. Whether you like the guy or not, and like I said, I'm not a huge fan of Donald Trump. I think he's got plenty of scandal and flaw. But what I see now is clearly weaponized Department of Justice under the Biden administration orders to remove my political opposition so I can win. That's communist. It's a communist move. What they do, and they can't debate the issues. You remove the competition. 512-248-8252. That's 512-248-8252. Got lots of stuff here to talk about here, and I would love to hear what you have to say, too, so I don't want to be the one only speaking myself today, but what's on your mind? I'd love to hear what you've got to say. Let's get back to some of my notes here. The DEI, let's talk about DEI a little bit, that they're diversity, equity, inclusion. The poster children for that program, at least in the mainstream media, it's kind of embarrassing. I don't know why anyone would want to grasp on and be the poster child for DEI. But evidently MSNBC, Joy Reid, is a poster child for DEI. She said that. The woman with the blonde Donald Trump hairdo who hates white people and the greatest threat to America is white people, are white people, and that anti-Semitism is growing and hatred for black people. None of this is true. That Joy Reid said the only reason she got into an Ivy League school is through diversity, DEI. Now, I don't know about you, but I have a little bit of pride and self-esteem that I would be very angry if somebody ever offered me a job based on my skin color and disregarding my merits and my credentials. I would be very, very offended. Which brings me to a good story to share with you. One of my friends who was in the ICU many, many years ago, I used to precept him and brought him up the ranks here to make him a pretty dang good ICU nurse before he decided to leave and then go into a program in Rochester, Minnesota, there for nurse anesthetist. Well, he had several interviews, and it's kind of tough to get in those programs. Cesar is Mexican. Good guy. I like him. He's a good friend of mine. We were roommates for a while. And he did his, 1 year or 2 years in the ICU to get his credentials, to get his experience, which was needed to get into school for nurse anesthetist. He interviewed at University of Tennessee. And I remember dropping him off at the airport, and I said, good luck to you, you know, you'll do fine. And got him all ready for his interview, kind of test questions and stuff like that, interview questions. He came back. He told me he was immediately, pretty much, in the interview, given a spot in the class. And they're small classes, so he got a spot. He got the spot for the class. And the interviewer made the mistake of saying, basically, you could have walked in here and you didn't really have to say much. You get the job. You get the slot because you're Hispanic. That was very offensive to my friend Cesar. Very offensive. He got very angry about that. He said, so my credentials, all everything here in my resume doesn't mean anything to you. It's because I'm Hispanic. You're going to give me a slot because I fit into the quotas. system to get a slot. And the guy kind of like got stunned because you're not supposed to talk back in the interview like that. And he stood up. He said, I'm not interested in going to your school. If you can't base it on my credentials, my merit, my experience, I don't want any part of your school. Pretty bold move. You know how many people wouldn't have done that? They would have just taken the spot and say, hey, I got in, I got in. But I have to give Cesar some credit on that. I respected him for that. I said, you know what? You did the right thing. Your resume looks pretty good. You know, you should get into a program somewhere. But you should get into the program based on your credentials, not your your background, not being Mexican. Okay? So he did another interview in Rochester, Minnesota for the program there from the Mayo Clinic program for nurse anesthetist, and that was never mentioned in the interview. They liked his resume. They liked his credentials. He got a spot, and as far as I know, he graduated in the program, so best to him, and I was really happy that he didn't take the diversity, the quota spot, because that's just not an honorable thing to do, which I could never do. I could never do that. I can never take a position based on anything other than my credentials is taking away from me and my hard work, everything I did. But we're seeing that in a new way now, the diversity, the equity, inclusion. Again, first it was affirmative action, and then, of course, later on changed to diversity. It's affirmative action just under a new heading is all it is. But to be a poster child for this program is quite embarrassing. Sonny Hostin, the Jewish Karen Johnson, Whoopi Goldberg, you know, Letitia James, Fannie Willis, Alvin Bragg. These people are all, and anyway, they're all diversity. They're all DEI candidates. They're subpar. Imagine that. You're walking around saying, I am subpar. I can only get in these programs because of my skin color or my sexuality. Amazing. Second hour coming up, 512-248-8252. 512-248-8252. It is a quiet night. You got something on your mind. Get it off your chest. Give me a call. Second hour coming up.
With Kalwara Shilaji, fact bit number 3. Shilaji is the supreme yoga vaha. Within Ayurveda, Shilaji is the singular substance that towers above all other herbs, herbal minerals, and earth-made adaptogens. Yoga vaha refers to substances that have the ability to synergistically make better and carry other substances to its prescribed destination. In the case of Shilaji, most any herb, food, or mineral is amplified with ionic potential, superimposing superior efficacy with increased cellular energy and absorption rates. One of the best applications for Shilaji is to add a drop or two into your favorite herbal tincture and foodstuff. Simply put, Shilaji makes other substances more effective.
Look for the gold mountain and medical symbol logo in banners on republicbroadcasting.org to watch the full video and see more information. Use code GORBN when ordering. That's G-O-R-B-N.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.